Welcome to Creators. This week, how to read a business book. The questions this cast answers are, how do I get the most out of a business book? How do I decide if a business book is worth reading? And how do I ensure I use what's in a business book?
The best value at Manager Tools is to buy an annual license to our material. For $200 a year, you get access to show notes for every single show produced, over 100 a year, plus our entire archive of nearly 1,000 shows. You wouldn't want to print it out all in one place. It'd be a management Wikipedia, and it'd be probably 5,000 pages. You get all that, plus access to Things I Think, and even more powerfully, the interview creation tool, which may be our strongest and most least known digital tool that we have. And more digital tools to come in the future, available only to licensees. Ask another licensee. They'll tell you it is the best value they have.
So, Kate, every week there are hundreds of new business books released. And each of them has this sophisticated marketing plan behind them that makes you think that this is the best book ever. So, how do you decide which ones are worth reading and how do you get the most out of them? What are we going to cover?
Today we're going to cover the first thing to do is to get three good ideas from the book. Also, read the introduction and the conclusion. Read the first 30% of the book. Take notes. Reread important books that you've read previously. And finally, do something. Take action.
The first item we have is get three good ideas. So when you flick through the pages of a book or you look at the description and the reviews, what you're looking for is three good ideas in the book that you can immediately see that will be helpful to you. That's how you decide whether or not the books have value. And that alone will cut down the amount of reading that you do that's just not as helpful as it might be. If you only buy the books that have three good ideas, you'll suddenly find that there aren't hundreds of books published a day, but only maybe one. So that cuts down a lot of the reading that you have to do.
Yeah, we want to use this rule for all of our books because there's so many books out there. I mean, there's millions of books out there. And we need some kind of culling process. And just because the author wrote a good book a couple of years ago, or they put out a very great first book, it doesn't necessarily mean that the next one will be good or that it'll be better. And actually, we've got some data, or we've heard of some well-known writers who their subsequent books didn't do that well, because after a couple of really good books, it got kind of stale in that the publisher couldn't in good faith produce the books as new material because it was the same material, the same ideas over again, right? The books that came out later were just leveraging the same material and ideas from previous books. And so those books weren't as good because there wasn't fresh ideas and fresh content. So we want to have some kind of measure of whether or not a book should even be purchased, because your time is valuable and spending it reading a book that isn't going to give you any good ideas would be, I don't know, wasteful, I guess I would say. We want to get three good ideas. And you don't really have to do a really deep read about the material or what's in the book. Most of the good stuff about the book is in the marketing material. So the book jacket or sleeve often has things like this. And you can look at chapter headings or titles. It's usually pretty clear what the topics are going to be. And so if you can look through those things and see that there's three ideas, three topics, three theories that you could implement and utilize, then that's a good measure of whether or not the book will be valuable to you and whether or not you should actually go ahead and purchase it. Because sometimes we just go around buying these books, right? And we don't even think, like, I mean, I do that all the time. I buy books, especially from the same authors. And for me, this is really valuable because sometimes I just think, oh, well, I love to read, so I'll probably love this book. And then you're stuck, right? It's like, oh, I have all these books.
Yeah, Mark and I have been doing book reviews for the newsletter we just started, and we did one, which was a book that Mark suggested, and then I suggested a book, and then he suggested one, and then I suggested another one, and then he suggested one, and it was the fourth one before we got a book that we could actually review, that we didn't get 100 pages in and think, okay, this isn't going to work. This isn't a good book. It doesn't have good ideas, or this subject is too narrow to be helpful to everybody. And I was shocked that it took us 4 goes to find a decent book. But that is the ratio, really, of good versus not so good.
Another way that we can make that determination, right, is this book going to be good or not, is to read the introduction and the conclusion, right? These are kind of the summary areas, right? The summary chapters, or they're not always chapters, but these are kind of the summary of the ideas that are in the book. And so if the book comes with like a foreword or a preface, you might want to read that. And maybe it's just the first chapter, right? Because often the first chapter has that summary information. But we want to read the overview, right? The kind of culmination of the ideas at the beginning, whatever it is called. You don't need to read all of it, right? If the overview is in the introduction and vice versa, you can pick and choose from there. But books nearly always start with a kind of, it's almost like a topic sentence, topic statement kind of chapter, which tells you what the book's about, how it's laid out, how the ideas fit together, right? It's like it's the summary again. And once you've read that, you can kind of skip around in the chapters and decide if some of it's good for you and some of it isn't. And you also want to read the conclusion. You want to look at that final summary. If the introduction hasn't given you a good idea of what's in the book and how you can use some of the book content for planning, then you should look at the conclusion, because that probably does have it. And if neither of these things is good, the book probably isn't that good, right? That's a pretty good measure.
The introduction and the conclusion are pretty easy to write. If somebody hasn't managed to write that and give you information that you need, they probably didn't do a great job in the rest of the book. So the introduction, the conclusion, and sometimes the first chapter are available without purchasing the book, either on the website for the book itself or on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you purchase your books. So you can read those, you can read the introduction, the conclusion, maybe the first chapter, and decide whether or not the book is going to be a quality book, and then you decide to read the whole thing. And the decider here is not the cost of the book, it's the time that it's going to take you to read it. If you spend 8 hours reading a book that has few ideas, but only costs you $1.99, when you could have been reading a better book that cost you $29.99, you haven't wasted any money. You've only wasted $1.99, but you've wasted something you can't get back, and that's time. So the quality of the book is important, not the price, because you don't want to waste your time reading a book that doesn't help you.
Absolutely. And we actually would recommend that you read the first 30% of the book, right? The best ideas of any book, really, are usually in
the first third. Once you've decided to read it.
Yeah, because you don't have to read all the books. You can pick and choose. So if you decide, right, if you looked at the ideas, you found 3 good ideas, you read the intro and the conclusion, and you found that they were solid, now you've decided to read the book, awesome. We recommend that you read the first 30%. Usually the best ideas are in the first third, because writers understand that we're all time crunched. And so if we don't get those ideas quickly, if we don't get quality pretty quickly, we'll give up the book. Although this is always a really exciting idea for me, that you don't have to finish the book.
I think many, many people who would consider themselves readers have this problem that you have to finish a book, and it's not true. And it's one of the rules of adulthood. So you can eat ice cream for breakfast and nobody gets you. And also you can decide that a book isn't working for you and stop reading. And I'm with you. I have this completionist need. I need my Kindle to get to the end and ask me for a review. But sometimes it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I actually learned this a couple of years ago, and it was just one of those moments where I realized that I had wasted so much time and energy, because I think we learn, you know, from reading from school and things like that, that you're supposed to finish the book. And You're right, it's a rule of adulthood. You no longer have to finish the book. I spent a lot of my life trapped in bad books because I love to read. I probably read 2 hours a day. Now, I don't watch television, so maybe that's probably where I get that time, right? But I read a lot, and it is so sad that I spent so many hours in those bad books. And so if you don't have to finish the book, a really good metric about whether or not you should is whether or not the first third of the book has given you ideas or useful knowledge. If the first third doesn't have strong content that you can leverage and that is useful to you, then we would recommend you just stop reading, right? You can flip through the rest of the book, see if there's something in there. Maybe there's a chapter that really resonates with you. Then you can see that through its title, right? You look at the title chapters or the chapter titles, but flip through. And if there's nothing else later in the book, then just stop reading. You can quit.
Yeah. And sometimes it isn't providing any value in a reasonable time. Sometimes the subject is too narrow to be useful. Sometimes it's too broad. Sometimes it's too complicated. Sometimes it just doesn't apply in your industry, or you just don't like the writer's style. It doesn't matter why you don't finish it. If you've made a judgment and you're not gonna get any value out of the rest of it, then just stop reading.
There's just so many books out there, so many books published today that there's no guarantee of quality, right?
No.
I mean, it's just like you said, you and Mark have been reviewing books, and it took you 4 books to find one of quality and to review. Now, that's not to say that they might not be helpful for someone else, but you could abandon 10 books before you find one that's really valuable to you. Just because a book is a bestseller doesn't mean that it's going to be useful to you. Again, sometimes your industry is narrow or things are different for you. Gosh, there's so many books that for my previous role would not have been useful to me because my industry was just very small and very different. But now those business books are so valuable to me. And so I have been reading this past year even more business books than usual, again, because just a shift in my industry and my role made a really big difference in the things that were useful to me. And changes like that can really affect the books that you read. You want to focus on things that are valuable to you. Reading can be a pleasure in itself, but we want to make sure that if we're reading business books, we can use the things that are in these books to create actions in our work. Because a book may have rave reviews. It may be the best book for everybody else, but it might not work for you. If it's not, then we would recommend you give it 30% and then let it go.
Yeah. Even if it gets rave reviews. I mean, all of the books that Mark and I looked at were bestsellers, and maybe they would have applied in different places, but they weren't going to apply to the majority of our audience who are reading the book reviews for a recommendation. And we have to be cognizant of the fact that we want to make the book review as useful to as many people as possible. And that cut down the number of books that were relevant or that we could use, mm-hmm. even though they were bestsellers.
One of the things that we want to do in order to take what's in our book and turn it into things that we can action is take notes, right? It's such an important part of reading. And we highlight this because it's hard to retain things if you don't take notes, right? It's really hard to retain mostly anything if you don't take notes.
Yeah.
But it's especially difficult with books. And it's not something that's really recommended out there very often to take notes about your books. I haven't heard this guidance very many times, but it can be really hard to find the idea that's buried in the book, right?
Yeah. If you have a library full of books and one of the passages is underlined in a book, you're going to find that particular passage amongst thousands of books and they've all got 300 pages. You're never going to find it. And that's essentially what your Kindle is or your bookshelf is. It's a wall of books and there's a passage somewhere in there that's important. And you might remember the author, but not the book, or the book, but not how far through the underlined section was. I often remember a paraphrase of what is said. And then when I go to search for it, the words that I've remembered because I've translated it into my own language aren't the words that are actually in the book. And so I can't find the passage again. So taking notes helps me because I can look at my notes and they make sense to me. And then I've got a note of where in the book the quote was from.
Yeah, it's really hard because what you remember is after you've processed it, right? There's an idea in the book and then your brain processes it and gives you kind of a content paraphrase. And then if you have to go back and try to find it, it's so hard. You could do a lot of stuff though. You can take photos of the page. You can highlight things in your Kindle or your Nook. You're capable of highlighting passages, right? You just have to be able to search. And you could take photos of the page and put some keywords in the photos. That would be pretty good for me. I think I would really enjoy that. And maybe you could make notes in like Word or Evernote, some other kind of electronic program. You do want to be able to search it probably, but maybe, you know, if we're talking about specifically note-taking, you could take handwritten notes in a notebook. I would love to have a notebook full of ideas from books and things like that. And especially if you're doing it as you read the book, you can just kind of flag things, right? You can even make like a table of contents for your notebook.
And we know that writing, the act of writing, because it's a physical act, helps us remember things. So if you actually write out a quote, you'll remember, oh, it's in about the first third of my notebook, or it's on a right-hand page near the bottom. And so there's something about the physical act of writing that gives you a location. So even though notebooks aren't searchable, you're likely to remember whereabouts in your notebook the quote was.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier for us to remember things that, because we read it, right? And that's good. But if we take the additional processing that it requires, if we take the time to do the additional processing that it requires to actually write that information, we have the processing memory, the physical act of writing it, and then also a visual memory of where it is on the page. And book pages all look the same, right?
Yes.
But your notebook page looks different. Like maybe that notebook page has coffee on it, or that notebook page has a piece missing, like a tear or something like that. And so,
well, you wrote in a different color on it or something.
Mm-hmm. It's searchable because your brain sees it differently. And your notes can be quotes from the book, or maybe your thoughts about it. It could be a drawing, which would be another really great visual memory, right? You could make a mind map, again, visual memory. Whatever makes the most sense to you, because what we're hoping to do is recall the idea and the passage. And so it doesn't have to be a quote. It could be a drawing. It could be a cross-reference even. You know, I thought about this and maybe it resonated with me because of this other book. So something to help you remember, because we want to utilize these ideas, right? It's not just that we're taking in information. We want to be able to utilize these ideas, and in order to do that, we really want to have processed it and be able to remember it.
So the problem with having so many books published each year is we also want to find space to reread important books. And all of the people that if you read people who are very well read and who are very successful, they reread the important books every year. And now what important means to you depends on what you're reading and why. But, you know, The Effective Executive, you can't go wrong with that. Every year, I love the style that it's written in. And then I get to the ideas and I just think, oh, there is so much in that book. I could reread it every week and not use all of the ideas. So that's a good one to start on if you're going to reread books.
And if we're thinking about time, right, I generally do my rereading at the beginning of the year, right, in January and February, because that's usually a time that's pretty busy for us at Manager Tools, but also it's a time when I'm kind of worn out from the end of the year. And so I find comfort in rereading the books. And because a lot of it's familiar to me, it tends to be a little easier for me to reread those books during that time. And everybody has different time periods during the year where, you know, things are really busy. Like a friend of mine, actually, he rereads his books at the end of the month because that's when they're doing like month end for accounting and things like that. And that's a really busy time for them. So in order to maintain a certain level of reading, he reads during that time because it's busy. And if you're rereading, it's often a little bit easier because the content isn't as new, right? It's a little easier to process. So that might be helpful to people. I don't know. For me, it's really helpful to reread in January and February.
It gives you a good jump start for the year because you know those books that you're going to read are good books. Whereas if you're tired and you need the kind of the jump start, then if you start a couple of books that aren't any good and stop them, then you don't get the same kind of impetus from the books that you will from the ones that you're rereading because you know that they're solid.
Mm-hmm. It's be kind of disheartening to pick three or four books in January and then find that none of them are very good.
Yeah.
But you know The Effective Executive is good. So you could start out with just feeling like you're starting the year with one of the most powerful books that was ever published, right? So,
yes.
And so part of this too is when you're looking for certain information when you're rereading a new book, you could just drop in and out of the book, right? You can kind of, oh, I'm going to read this chapter and then I'm going to read chapter 3 and then I'm going to read chapter 6 and things like that. But if you're rereading, we recommend you reread from the beginning and take in the whole content and get the feel of the book so that you can kind of see how the special parts and the really key ideas fit into the whole And part of this is because we've already determined that this book is good. So we don't need to pick and choose. We want to get the whole thing, especially with a writer like Drucker. Or, you know, one of my favorite books to read is The Closing of the American Mind. That book is so good and so powerful. And that's one of those books where you can really take the entire book. You've already determined it's good. So it's okay to read the whole thing over again.
And on the Manager Tools website, you can see all the books we've given 5 stars to under book reviews. It's under the community tab on the main menu, and then you go to book reviews, and there's all these books that we recommend reading. And if we've given them 5 stars, they're probably books that we read multiple times. And you can also see reviews from other people about other books. So if you don't have a list and you're ready to get started, that's a good place to start from. And the final part is the most important part, even though we've left it to the end of the cast, and that is to do something. There is no point in reading books and getting ideas if you don't do something with them.
Yeah. The whole point is not just to pass the time. We would love to say that you could just read this like a novel, but in fact, we're looking for ideas that can lead to improvement in the workplace. We're looking for things that we can implement, things that we can use. And so, in order to make the time you spend, the investment of your time, worthwhile, you really need to take the 3 good ideas and implement them. So it doesn't matter if it's something as simple as adjusting your calendar or changing your schedule, or maybe it's something as big as launching the new way to launch a product. It's really important that we not just read our books, but we also use the ideas in them to take action.
So when you're reading the book, make notes about what actions you're going to take, or work through an idea. You know, if there's an idea in a book and you know that can apply to something that you're working on, then work through that idea so that you come down to actions before you finish the book. Or you could do it when you finish the book, but I like doing it when I'm still working on the book, because then I feel like I'm able to implement things straight away. And that gives me more excitement about reading the book.
Mm-hmm. It's really important to make sure that we're not just spending our time, which is so valuable, on reading business books for fun, right? Some of them are fun, but really it's about, can I use these ideas to better my workplace, to function more effectively, to increase my results?
The most successful people in the world read voraciously. If you look at Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, they're two famous people who read like enormous amounts. And it's a way to get ideas from other successful people so that you can use them in your own life. You don't need to reinvent the wheel if you can read. You can read a book and find out how somebody invented the wheel, and you just take their idea and then you can build on top of it and make a bike. And classics are classics for a reason. It's because they have timeless wisdom to share. You would be amazed at the number of books that have ideas in them that go back to the ancient Greeks and the ancient Romans. And then there's books, of course, that are bang up to date and tell you something to do on Twitter. So there's a whole range, but classics are classics for a reason. And if you have a thought about whether or not you want to read a classic, read it, because a lot of people put it there and have bought it over time, and it's still been worthwhile to read. Like Drucker was written in the 60s, I think, and he wrote The Effective Executive in the 60s, and that book is timeless. It still is amazingly accurate, and it has amazing ideas that can change you. Now, the language is slightly strange, but I like that about it. But even if you could ignore the language and just get the ideas, you get solid ideas. And that's why it's always been a bestseller since it was published. So read books that give you at least 3 new ideas and implement the ideas. And then 1 book at a time, you'll improve yourself and your career. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. I hope you found that helpful, and then you'll get more out of your business books as you go forward.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manage Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manage Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manage Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manage Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.